Pickaxe.
Jetzt nur du, dein Podcast und eine leckere Auszeit. Ab zu Aldi Nord. Für 2,99 Euro bringst du deine Mittagspause mit Sushi ins Rollen. Lecker. Und für 1,99 Euro gönnst du dir danach noch eine kleine Eiszeit. Bei Aldi Nord findest du immer das Passende. Klingt gut? Dann probier die Snacktime Sushi Box ab 205 Gramm für nur 2,99 Euro. Oder Mucki Sandwich Eis, je 8 Stück für nur 1,99 Euro. Das ist Gutes für alle zum Aldi-Preis. Jetzt in deiner Filiale. Aldi. Gutes für alle.
Hello.
What's up? Yo.
From London.
All the way nice. from live.
Live from London.
It's Perry
live
Fox.
And direct. So this week we are trying to get ready to go away to Insomnia. Spank holiday Easter weekend. The Easter bunnies are laying eggs.
Nice.
Which I'm pretty sure bunnies don't do.
No.
And
right.
Then they get eaten because they're made of chocolate by children.
No.
Who then
no, no, no. Rabbits.
Eats
rabbits
the
are
bunny
not made of chocolate.
Fetuses.
Rabbits are not made of chocolate. I don't know what you're talking about.
What? It's a thing.
They don't
that
lay
happens.
Eggs. They're not made of chocolate. All right.
They do little poops that look like chocolate balls, though.
They do.
So
don't eat
if you
them.
get Maltesers for Easter, that's probably the closest.
Yeah, actually,
to,
that should be an
to
Easter
what
egg.
A rabbit can make. Yeah,
I see. So we should try and start a movement to get rid of eggs and get instead like poops.
I don't know, yeah. Man. I think Malteser eggs. Like, if you've been to any of the shops recently to get Easter eggs for your loved ones or whatever, maybe for your personal trainer. You probably noticed that Malteser is like a pretty fucking heavy hitter. Like,
yeah, they're good
everywhere you go. Like, they're good, good eggs too. I think they should do away with the eggs and just give you a box filled with Maltesers only and call it rabbit poops.
Eggs, right? Chocolate eggs. I was always a little bit kind of, I guess, disappointed by chocolate eggs. I guess because I was always assuming that they would be, when I was a kid, this was like, I always just assumed that inside, when you cracked open the egg, it would just like Maltesers would spill out. But no, it's probably like inside the egg is a little plastic bag.
Yeah, with like five Maltesers in it.
Do you know what I mean?
It's not even a heaving bag of Maltesers.
No,
it's like
a
really, really disappointing, crappy bag with like five Maltesers in
at
it.
At best.
Yeah.
I was very disappointed. I purchased what I thought, according to the bag, was a large bag of Galaxy's Minstrels the other day, and I thought it's a large bag. It's about the size of a big envelope, right?
Right.
Like a birthday card
like
sized
A4?
Envelope.
Oh, okay. Okay.
No, no, no.
I don't
it's
know
like,
what
you,
A
you know,
that is.
You know when you get an I don't know. It's an envelope size. You know when you get an envelope through, and it's clearly not a letter. It's a card, right? It's like a birthday card sized envelope. It's a big bag. And I was expecting it to be chock full of delicious Galaxy Minstrels, which are one of my favorite things.
Right.
There's 118 grams of the fuckers in here, all right?
Yeah.
It's like 66% of the fucking bag is air. So it's just big so that I can get almost my whole fucking hand in this thing. And at the bottom, I've got to tweeze out the minstrels at the bottom of the bag because there's so fucking few of them. I was furious. What the fuck is going on? This could fit in a regular bag of minstrels. It's a waste of plastic. And frankly, it's false advertising. Fuck you, Galaxy Chocolates. And stick some more fucking chocolates in your cocking bags.
Maybe it's good for you because those things are like black holes, though. They're like fully concentrated down.
Right.
And they weigh a ton.
They do.
I eat like two or three. I eat like two or three a day. It's just my long time little snacky. I have a couple of minstrels. Delicious. I like minstrels.
It's like a little treat for
it's
you.
It's lasting me like a week and a half. Like I hardly eat them. I just have them occasionally.
That's some tremendous willpower. Fuck. Holy shit, Flex.
Like, so most if you people, had a proper like fucking sack of them, it would last for years.
It would last me a
most
while.
Most people would open that bag and it would be gone. It would just disappear. Like all
well,
of
that's
them.
Disgusting.
And then maybe they'd open another bag and do it again. A 2-for-1 deal or something.
Well, you'd
I think
to.
What you've done there shows that you've got some good willpower. Like, I don't think a lot of people would
good
be
restraint.
Able, yeah, they wouldn't be able to restrain
no,
themselves.
Hold themselves back.
Yeah.
No.
You're right. I deserve a lot of credit. Not, I'll tell you what, I deserve credit. The makers of Galaxy Minstrels deserve no credit. Free post Mars Consumer Care. 0800-952-00. Why don't I call them right now? I'm going to call them up and say, what is up with this? I'm going to call them. Here's the phone. Hold on.
Okay.
Sure. I'll put it on speaker. I'll put it on speakerphone.
You're going to get the music. It's going to be like, ba, 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 ba.
Can you
Galaxy,
hear this?
Everybody's favorite chocolate.
Yeah.
Thank you for calling Mars Chocolate UK.
Your call will be recorded for quality and training purposes.
Right, oh dear.
Please choose one of the following options.
Oh, here we go.
If you have a product complaint or a concern, please press 1.
I'm pressing 1. 1.
Yeah, press 1 straight away, yeah.
Hello, good afternoon. Thank you for calling, Mark.
Wow, that was quick.
Hi, my name is Pyrian Flax.
Okay, and how can I help?
I'd like to talk about your Galaxy Minstrels. I bought the large bag. It says on the back, it's like the larger bag of Galaxy Minstrels. There's only 118 grams of Minstrels in here. I was kind of surprised that there were so few. Do you offer a larger bag, or is it as big as it gets?
I can just have a quick look for you and find out what the largest size is.
Yes, please.
Okay, just place on hold while I do.
Okay.
Okay, no, this is fine. This is a really good idea.
Oh my god! I feel like I'm 8 years old again, and my dad.
Listen to this. A lot of cowbell.
I don't want to laugh too loud in case that guy hears me.
How long are we going to be on hold for?
Oh man!
Well, it's, I don't know if we just carry
you
on.
You have dropped a bombshell, Flax. Like they've got to regroup and fucking figure out a strategy to deal with you. Is that we got a code red? Somebody's actually phoned us. What do we do?
Everyone is the board press quick.
One. Nobody ever presses one. Who do we have? Call in Jimmy. Jimmy can sort it out.
Jimmy the Fixer.
Jimmy's on vacation, though. Whoa.
Oh, no.
Listen to that music.
He's negotiating someone off the top of a building. You know, he's doing some, like, serious, like, damage control elsewhere.
The negotiator.
Oh, Christ. I don't think I've ever rung any helplines in my life,
the
actually.
Thing is, Flax, you know that by doing this, you're going to get, like, a couple of free bags of Minstrels.
You're going to have to give him your address and stuff.
Number 1, the moon.
Well, and what's your postcode?
Moon 1.
Moon 1.
I think we should just stay here while we wait.
Man, I think what they're trying to tell you now, Flax, is that they couldn't give less of a shit about you.
Oh. Yeah, the largest size is 210 grams.
So that's 210. How much bigger is the bag? Is it the same size bag, or is it like a much bigger bag for the 210?
Yeah, the bag might be slightly, or will be bigger if it's that size, yeah.
Because I reckon you could fit 210 grams in the 118 gram bag and save on bags, because this bag is way too big for 118 grams of minerals.
Okay.
Okay, just FYI.
Okay, well, thank you very much for calling and letting us know.
No problem.
On our system.
Cheers. Take it easy.
Oh, my God.
He said he's going to put that on the system.
Nice. We had.
Great. holy shit. So,
all right,
Flax,
I've got a new file here, 11/27, 13th of April. Some fatso thinks the big bags of Minstrels could be bigger. also has concerns about the environment, so that's a plus. Yeah.
Probably couldn't fit his chubby hands into the bag, wants a bigger one.
We need, oh my God, can you imagine that's how the note got written down? It's like the bags weren't big enough.
Not big enough.
So they're going to have a meeting now and discuss making even bigger bags.
Oh, man.
Yeah, and we're going to... It's going to be like a flipping poster-sized bag next time. It'll have, like, 4 minstrels in the bottom of it.
Minstrel
sack. You have to, like, get a torch to, like, search around in there.
Oh, man.
And I don't know about you guys. Like, you guys seem to have, like, disappointments and reservations and stuff. If somebody buys me chocolate, I just fucking eat that shit, like, straight away. Like, I love chocolate. I'm never disappointed. You just give me a small bag of chocolate, I'll eat it. Give me a big bag of chocolate... It's gone. Like, that's it. No complaints here. I'm like a robot just ready to eat whatever you put in my mouth as long as it's chocolate.
Yeah, of course.
I don't want to be eating shit or anything like that. But you know what
I mean? So what's your go-to chocolate, though, Sips? Like, if you're in, like, a service station on a motorway, or if you're in, like, if you're in the local newsagent, what is your go-to?
If I'm feeling, like, a bit desperate and uninspired, I'll grab a Snickers bar every time. I really like them.
Okay.
But if I'm feeling like a bit spicy, you know, I wanna like branch out a little bit. Sometimes I might get a Twix. you know, other times. Mm. I wouldn't just get a Mars bar. Like, I'll eat a Mars bar quite happily if somebody gets me, like, a Mars bar egg or, like, you know, just happens to give me a Mars bar, I'll eat it, but I'll never go out of my way to buy a Mars bar. Huh. Like, I find them too boring. I think Snickers is a bit spicier, like, a little bit more fun. You know, it's got some nuts in there and some caramel and whatever that fucking shit is in the middle, I'm not even sure. Like,
nougat?
What, I guess. I don't know. Like, I've never looked at the ingredients. It's nice, whatever it is, but...
It's hot zebra semen that they've aerosoled
shit,
and
piped
it in.
Is there a place I can buy that stuff in bulk on the internet? Cause,
the zoo?
Oh, man.
The zoo gift shop. Yeah, it's next to like the coconut milk and stuff.
Vats of zebra semen. Nice.
That's not coconut milk. That's ape cum.
It makes my hair so shiny. How could it possibly be semen?
How different would Easter be if that's what we celebrated it with cup after cup of animal semen?
It's all natural. It's organic, you know.
Oh, my God. You've got a semen mustache. Whoops.
Honestly, I'm surprised the hipsters haven't hooked onto that. They're like, we got almond milk, we got soy milk, and we got zebra milk.
What about bull milk? Let's get it.
We got chimpanzee milk. We got any animal that could wank its self off or be wanked off available.
I'm not sure that a chimpanzee would have a pleasurable wank, though. I was under the understanding that only humans and dolphins will have sex recreationally or just for pleasure.
Right.
Does that mean that a
what
dolphin...
What about monkeys?
Well,
and apes, they'll do it for fun. They wank for fun. I mean, you know.
I don't think monkeys do wank for fun, though.
Well, you think it's like their job? Like they turn up...
No,
gotta wank again before I get a banana.
They're like, they're primitive, right? So like a lot of animals... They have like a sex drive and stuff, but it only happens around like a certain time, like a mating season, and then they just stick it in and blam, they do it, and then the babies are made. But like they don't just sit around like, you know, all day, you know, watching anime and then, you know, fucking rubbing their balls and being all creepy and stuff on their own. Like I think generally they just sort of mulch around and eat bugs off each other's backs and eat grass and fucking sleep. That's about it. Like, I've never seen a gorilla or anything. I've seen, like, we have a zoo here. We, like, take our kids all the time because we have, like, a seasonal pass for it. And every time we see the monkeys, they are not masturbating at all. Like,
have you ever thought that maybe they do it in privacy?
No, I don't think they do because in the zoo, there is none. Like, you can see them inside and you can see them outside. So no matter where they are,
why you don't see them doing it. They're looking for a little corner. I think they should give them a little darkened corner, like the J.O. chamber, and they can go and jerk it in there.
I don't know.
And that's like their private.
The what chamber?
I think that would be a big waste of time.
J.O. chamber. Jerk off chamber.
Oh, right. What the fuck are you talking about? Well, they put like a portaloo in the middle of the fucking chimpanzee enclosure. Like
we went to Amsterdam a couple of years ago, and they have little jerk-off chambers like in a store, like upstairs. You go in to this store, and on the ground floor, there's like a bunch of DVDs and like dildos, and it's like a big sex shop, right?
If it gets too much for you, you can
in the middle of the store, there was like this big round thing, and a coin slot, you put the coin in and it would unlock the door and you'd go in the door and you were just in this little room that you stood up in with a window and in the middle there was just like a man and a woman having sex and you'd watch them for a bit. And in the room as well, there was like a towel dispenser, I guess, if you wanted to.
Of course, yeah.
And then if you went upstairs, there was the same thing, but it wasn't live. It was just like little video booths with like a chair and a towel dispenser right next to it, and then like a screen, and you could pick whatever you wanted to watch. It was like pretty weird.
So what did you pick?
It feels like those places.
I like the movie Star Wars.
Yeah.
Moana.
Yeah, I watched Moana a couple times. Yeah. No, I feel like those places are so outdated now with the internet and like with anime and stuff. Like you could just sit in a hotel room and just like, you know, masturbate yourself into oblivion if you wanted to and you're not out in public.
You just need a phone or some shit. I mean, it's all out there.
Exactly. But I don't know.
I've often wondered what kind of popularity would you get if you could have one of these masturbation booths that was just located in like a public place, like in the mall, right? It's just got one-way mirror, and you can go in and you can watch all the other people out there, and you can go in and pay and just have a wank and watch the people walk past.
Maybe what you do is you have one next to like the changing room in like H&M or whatever. And then like when the grands come in to like try on their bras or whatever.
Oh my God.
You can have a peek.
Yeah, but they know what the grands know what they're getting into because they're like exhibitionist grands. Yeah. They're like, oh yeah, I like showing my
my
butt off.
Look at my saggy ass, sonny. Banging their cane on the glass. I can hear you in there whacking it off. Or whatever, you dirty boy, dirty.
And then you can hear it like the intensity like goes up a notch.
That's someone's fetish, I guarantee fucking to you.
Masturbating
while an old woman scolds them. That's what gets them up.
It's 2017 now. We're becoming a lot more liberal with our sexuality and stuff. People are exploring a lot more. People are getting arrested for fucking bicycles and pavements and stuff.
Here we go again. Like, it's that old fallback topic of ours. Would a man fuck a bicycle? Yes, he would.
Yes, he would. And would a man watch an old granny getting changed at H&M? Probably definitely. Yeah, definitely. I think.
It's on my bucket list.
Yeah, me too. Man, I don't know.
Fucking a bucket. Fuck a bucket. That's on my bucket list as well.
Yeah.
Fuck a bucket.
Why not? Why the hell not?
Masturbation booths just like dotted around in the city, I think would be a danger a little bit.
How
do you feel about like that kind of exhibitionist like sex in public, kind of on the beach or like with a thrill of being caught? I guess is that like
I wouldn't.
You guys
I mean,
ever like?
I've seen people having illicit sex like if you're out, you know, in London on a Friday or a Saturday night, and it's really late. After hours, like, you know, you're walking around at 4 or 5 a.m., yeah, there'll be people doing all sorts of things. On the night bus, you get, you know, people getting blowjobs and stuff like that. It happens. And I think at that point, you know, everyone there is an adult. Everyone's too fucking high or drunk to give a fuck, and no one really cares. But that's kind of the silent contract you enter into when you go out on a bender.
Yeah.
Is that, you know, whatever happens, happens, and... You know, as long as you survive, at least it'll be a good story. But I think
the silent contract is like you just accept that there's going to be people like having sex in public around
you.
Yeah,
it's just shit.
When did you sign this silent contract? Like, this sounds, I don't think I signed that.
It's a silent contract. It's an unspoken, unwritten rule. If you've got a problem, go and tap that guy on the shoulder and say, excuse me, can you stop banging that girl loudly on the back of the night bus and see what happens? The silent contract is you get your fucking head
Stop thrusting so hard, please. It's making a lot of noise. I'm just trying to have a quiet bus ride here. Please.
Do you even know her name? This is shocking. This is shocking. This is appalling. Do you even know? You don't even know her name. This is appalling. Have you even taken her out for dinner yet? No.
Have you even considered buying her a pack of Galaxy Minstrels?
Have you seen the size
of the bags?
118 grammar. Get the 220. They offer it.
It's available somewhere.
Oh, man.
You can find it.
What I'm amazed at, by the way, about that call is that guy took like 5 minutes to find out about their own product line. I could Google. Look at this. Biggest Galaxy Minstrels.
Man, maybe you should go and replace him. You could take his job.
Boom. Took me 2 seconds. He was checking the system.
I don't think he was necessarily checking the system as deciding how to respond to you.
Yeah.
You know, because your complaint was very broad. Right.
Yeah.
It was both. There are too few minstrels in this size packet. And so he came back to you saying his answer was a very diplomatic one. He said there is a bigger packet.
Yeah.
You know, he didn't say the reason that there's so few in there. You know, he let your fury cool down. Okay, by putting you on hold.
Yeah, that's...
It was probably a very planned thing, P-Flax. He's probably just sitting there twiddling his thumbs, like with a timer on, saying, okay, we need to give this guy 3 minutes to cool off. You know, I reckon. I'm very cynical.
No, but that's how these people work, though. They have, like, a strategy for dealing with people.
Like a psychological strategy to deal with, like,
and one of those things that probably, like, in their rule book or whatever, is if somebody comes off even slightly annoyed, it's probably just, like, written down, like, if the customer is coming through from option one, say that you need to put them on hold for 5 minutes so they can cool down a little bit and maybe like rethink why they're actually phoning and stuff. Because like sometimes, I bet you a lot of cases they come back and the person's hung up because they just are so furious they don't want to be on hold for 5 minutes or whatever. I think it's a way of like disarming you.
Yeah, maybe. I think so. Anyway, Man, I was just thinking,
now
like,
you've been disarmed.
Moana. Moana sounds like it could be a porno already, doesn't it? Because it's got the word like moan in the title.
It's about a child, isn't it?
It is about a child, Lewis.
Well, it's a children's movie, but I'm saying that they normally do like porn parodies of like all sorts of shit, don't they?
Oh,
like
please
Harry
don't
Potter's
let there be a porn parody of
Moana.
It would just be so wrong.
I mean, you guys, how many times have you watched Moana, do you think?
Let me count.
Today.
I need more. Yeah, let me count. I need more hands.
It's 11:39 in the morning.
It's been on in my house since about 6 o'clock this morning, like nonstop.
Right.
Like they've watched it back to back to back to back. It's just on in the background. They're not even just sitting there watching it half the time. Like they'll be off doing stuff, and then when one of the songs start, they sort of rush back, dance around a little bit and stuff, and say this is my favorite one. Try to sing along a bit, and then just go back to whatever it was they were doing, putting their fingers in sockets.
It's just
and stuff.
On chain play. Is there other movies that have done that, or is it just this one?
For us, no. We used to, because we got Netflix and stuff too. Like my son will watch like Paw Patrol or like SpongeBob or something like that, and they've got seasons and seasons of it. So, you know, that'll just be on like all day, but it'll be different episodes and stuff. So it's not too bad, but it is still the same thing. And you have to listen to the theme music every time. And like, you know, you get to the part in the show where it's like, let's do it, team. And then the music starts again and stuff. And it's a bit repetitive, but no, I guess in terms of movies, like for my family, I think Moana has been the first one where it's just been like back to back to back to back. But they're too young to have gotten into Frozen. Frozen came out before they were born.
Oh, I see.
So, and with my son, like he's not too keen on Frozen because there's a lot of girls at his school who have like Frozen t-shirts and stuff like that. So he kind of knows that it's for girls sort of thing. So he's sort of...
Right.
I think he likes it, but he would never admit it sort of thing.
Okay.
But Moana, I guess, has like... like a strong like male character in it and stuff, and he seems to really like it, and he doesn't seem too embarrassed by liking it sort of thing. So
that's nice.
Yeah,
my daughters love it. My wife loves it. I have
oh god, who loves
it
more?
I have yet to see it because every time they say let's put Moana on, I say I'll see you later.
Peace out. Yeah, out you go. I mean,
I leave the planet.
That's your cue to like.
I must
you
leave
know,
now. My people leave me.
See, like, it's different for me because
my games need me.
My kids aren't old enough to just be sort of left to it in a lot of ways. I still have to, like, sit in the room with them a lot and watch them and make sure they're not clubbing each other and whatever. So I end up having to sit through a lot of this stuff. Honestly, in the grand scheme of things, I think Moana is a pretty good movie for a Disney movie. It's totally manageable. It's not like super obnoxious or annoying or anything. Like, you know, the songs are like pretty nice. It's got a pretty nice story and stuff. Like technically, I think like the graphics or like whatever, the CGI or whatever it is that they use for those movies is really good. Like it's amazing. But yeah, I mean, I've seen it like a fucking billion times, so I don't know.
Wow. It's
like, you know.
Jesus Christ.
I don't know. Kill me.
It's like some dystopian nightmare.
Yeah.
I mean, that's probably what they do to, like, terrorists in, you know, Guantanamo. They kind of just play them back-to-back Disney movies, like the same one, though. Like
no,
a bad
I think
one.
they would do it with the DreamWorks like movie, though, because they're like the fucking the shitty versions of Disney movies.
Actually, I think Mulan's pretty good. Which is the worst Disney movie? Stop it.
The worst? You mean of the cartoons of the modern era?
Which would be the worst one to have to watch back-to-back?
Oh, probably something really boring, like... The Aristocats.
I think when I was
something.
A kid, it was Dumbo. That's the one that I ended up watching back to back.
Dumbo's not too bad.
Like, it's pretty
and Pinocchio.
Bad.
Pinocchio God, is pretty were... nice, though.
101 Dalmatians is pretty fucking bad.
101 Dalmatians, yeah, it's pretty. They made like a fucking real life one of it too, didn't they? With Glenn Close, like, a couple of years ago, I think.
Oh God, with I looked in the mirror today and I've got this like gray streak in my hair at the front and I thought, fuck me, I look like Cruella de Vil.
Nice.
I'm like nice. I need to just do something about it. So I'm going to have to start, I think, dyeing my hair.
I'll tell you what animated to, like, Disney movie I really did like was that Robin Hood.
Okay.
Remember that one? It had like all the cool whistling songs and stuff. That one was all right. I remember liking it as a kid. So like I'd probably still like it as a 37-year-old man, I'm sure. Right. I like the Winnie the Pooh movies as well, you know, like the original ones.
Oh, they're pretty good.
Yeah,
though.
They were like,
I don't know.
I mean, I was but little when those came out, so I still have like some like nostalgia about them, I guess. But
Cars, I would hate to have to watch Cars. Back to back. It sucks.
I don't know. I think the original Cars wasn't as bad as like Planes and Cars 2 and Cars 3. And
they're all pretty fucking miserable, yeah, aren't they?
The Toy Story movies were okay. They were pretty good.
I love the Toy Story.
What was that? What about the snail?
Snail.
It was like snail? A racing one. What? Oh, there was a snail one. It was terrible.
Right.
Yeah.
I don't know if that was a Disney one.
Oh no, it was probably like a DreamWorks, wasn't it? I think we're blending into the other studios now.
Yeah, yeah.
It seems like they have crossed over more.
I mean, I say
lately.
DreamWorks make shitty movies. Like the Shrek movies were okay. They were like pretty funny, I guess.
The Shrek movies?
Oh, I mean,
some of them were okay.
They
were
so like, funny.
And there's a farce
so
in the swamp.
So funny. Fucking Shrek.
Donkey. I don't know, Shrek. I think we should go for some parfait. I love me some parfait. Oh, hey. Donkey, stop blowing off. I'm the fart king round here, you know. I live in a fucking swamp. I'm an ogre. Jokes about monkeys and such. Oh.
On the topic of Eddie Murphy, though, did you guys hear that fucking Eddie Murphy's brother died? You know, he was in,
yeah,
like, Chappelle's
Charlie Murphy Who? Died, yeah.
Who?
Charlie
who
Murphy.
Is that?
Charlie Murphy.
Nobody. I don't know who that was.
Charlie Murphy was not unfamous, dude.
He was pretty well known.
Did you never watch Chappelle's Show?
He was in it a lot.
No,
Chappelle's
I didn't.
Really
show
fucking
was great.
Funny, too.
His bit on that was funny. He was like, he was Eddie Murphy. He's Eddie Murphy's brother, he was. And he was his bodyguard through a lot of that period when Eddie Murphy was very famous. And obviously, Charlie Murphy was like a real... He was a real dude. Like, he was, you know, you didn't fuck with Charlie Murphy. He was not to be fucked with. He was a big guy, very tough. And he was, you know, Eddie Murphy's sort of head of security sort of thing.
He was a bodyguard.
Yeah. I mean, you know, crazy. He hung out with his brother and he was part of that crew and everything.
I don't know if I'd want to, I don't know if I'd want my brother to be my bodyguard.
I think he would if it was Charlie Murphy because he's a badass. And
Or is that like, I don't know, like, I think there's something weird about that, isn't there? Like, do you not think?
No, I don't think
maybe not, though. I mean, would you, is your brother the exact kind of person you want as your bodyguard?
Think about this. Your brother isn't going to let you down. Right? You know what I mean?
This
he's
is true. Not, but is
he's
going to
keep your secrets. He's going to be there for you. He's part of the family. And, you know, I think it would be great. I would love to have
him. Is a bodyguard supposed to take a bullet for you?
No. I mean, geez, he's not the fucking president,
that's the
Lewis.
Secret Service.
Yeah.
Right. Oh, I see.
No, a bodyguard, you're just meant to look... like, you know, Britney Spears used to have that really gigantic bodyguard who looked like... he kind of looked like a cruise missile, but like... maybe 5 or 6 cruise missiles combined into one.
Right.
But like in the body
Britney
and not
Spears
at the tip.
Bodyguard.
Yeah, he was big. I think his name was like Bubbles
say,
or something.
Don't
he
fuck
was huge.
With me.
I don't know if it's
Fernando.
I don't know if it was actually Bubbles, but like he was a really big guy.
Yeah, I can imagine.
And he would just sort of stand there and look imposing.
Yeah, so Charlie Murphy, he was part of that whole Hollywood scene with Eddie Murphy, because so everywhere Eddie went, obviously he would go and all the different hangers on and everything. But Charlie Murphy had a million funny stories about being, you know, with Eddie and all that kind of weird fame and stuff like that. His stuff on Chappelle's show was really funny.
He's really fucking funny,
he's very funny himself.
So like he's probably the best person to tell those stories.
Right, exactly. Like the one where he went to Prince's house after a party and they played basketball. That is one of the best Chappelle show sketches of all time.
Yeah.
I will have to watch.
It's so good. Like they go to Prince's house for this party and Prince was like, hey, Charlie Murphy, would you like to play some basketball? And Charlie Murphy and all his guys are there wearing their like appropriate gear for it. And they were like laughing because it's Prince. He's tiny. And all this little like kind of slightly camp looking crew. And I can't remember what was the name of the Prince's guys, the something generation or something like that, like whatever the crew was.
I watched it like recently too. It was
The Revolution. Yeah. So they're all there wearing like, you know, they've got the kind of looks like a doily around their neck, like all these fancy cravats, and they played wearing that stuff and they fucking destroyed Charlie Murphy and his crew. They absolutely tore them apart, and afterwards he's like, would you like some pancakes, Charlie Murphy?
when he's humping the ball, he's like doing like that fucking weird Prince sound. Oh shit, that was
so
fucking
funny. That is a
funny
sketch. But yeah, Charlie Murphy is great. It's a shame. It's a
You want to watch, if you're going to watch Chappelle's Show sketches, Lewis, you want to watch that one. And another really, really good one is the Player Haters Ball with Ice-T in it. It's got Ice-T, Charlie Murphy's in it as well.
Holy shit. This really
it's
is like
so
an early 2000s
holy shit.
Like thing, isn't
honestly,
it?
Honestly, Chappelle's Show was one of my favorite shows. And I was gutted when it went away. I'm glad Dave Chappelle came back. He did it. I saw his special on Netflix. It wasn't like his best work, but I'm just glad to have him back. I really am.
Oh, man.
I really enjoyed the Chappelle stuff on Netflix, actually.
It was really good, though. Like, it just shows, like, how fucking good he is at writing comedy. Because, like, the whole thing with the pussy-padding superhero and then linking that back to Bill Cosby, like, right at the end was really fucking funny, actually.
He's a very funny guy.
It destroyed me. I was laughing very, very hard.
I'm really hoping that he keeps going. Rather than just does like these occasional comebacks, because I think a lot of the comedians, like my favorite comedian is Stuart Lee, like a British comedian, and he is always working. He's always out there doing comedy, doing stand up. And I saw him in like some teeny tiny venues honing his material in front of an audience and really getting it just right before he takes it on tour and does like a big TV show and stuff.
Yeah.
So when he did Stuart Lee's Comedy Vehicle, I'd seen him do that material like a year and a half before in a really small comedy club in London. And it was almost the same material, but he just tweaked it and honed it. And it was perfect. It was absolutely perfect. His stand-up is so fucking good. His delivery is perfect. His timing, everything.
Yeah.
And his understanding of how the audience is going to react. And he plays with that. And it's like, if you're not out there doing it all the time, I feel like a comedian that sort of writes material, comes back and does a big special, I would like to see him do like back to the grind, just straight up comedy touring, because that's how they get really, really funny.
Stuart Lee's great. I mean, he's like the original kind of inspiration, I think, for like one of our big like comedy inspirations. Really, Simon Light is a huge
Stuart Lee fan. Oh, he's
great. Stuart
he's
Lee
so fan. Fucking
and used to
funny.
Listen to, I think he still listens to the Lee and Herring kind of podcasts they do. That's, and
yeah.
Man, like all the way back. Simon's just a huge fan as well. So yeah,
I don't know if I've ever seen him do any stand-up, but I recognize the face. I just looked
like
him up.
Him and Richard Herring, the stuff that they used to do in the 90s was genuinely, there was nothing else like it on television. Like that 90s comedy, yeah. you had Lee and Herring and you had like... Chris Morris and people like that, they were all suddenly arrived and they were fucking amazing and they've been funny for ages.
Was he anything to do with like Brass Eye and all that?
No, that was Chris
Morris.
That was like Chris Morris and Steve Coogan and people like that.
Yeah.
So
Chris
you know,
Morris
that was
is
sort of a
funny.
Different. Yeah, he's very funny.
I mean, I think I watched the Alan Partridge Alpha Papa.
Right.
Movie,
yeah. It's okay.
Which with Simon, we watched it in the cinema, and I really enjoyed it actually. So if you haven't seen that, like, I thought it was good. It was good.
It was
fun.
Really fun.
I actually saw Chris Morris at a Stuart Lee gig. So I was at, we were at the gig in, it was in Leicester Square, and there was Chris Morris. I was like, holy shit!
Oh,
yeah,
really?
I was like, that's nice. How you know that he's Stuart Lee's fucking the real deal when Chris Morris is coming to see him. Like, other comedians generally don't enjoy watching other comedians because they sort of see what they're doing. And they said, you know, it's like watching someone do your job as well. And you're like, yeah, that was funny. That was a good bit. Because you could see it from a professional angle, I guess. Like I've seen a lot of interviews with comedians where they say they don't really go to other people's comedy shows because it's hard to watch. You know how they've got there and where they're going. And you can already see the tracks and stuff like that of where the jokes are leading.
Yeah,
and of course,
yeah.
A lot of jokes, you've already heard them before, or it's just a play on another joke sort of thing. But, I mean, yeah, Stuart Lee. Everybody fucking loves Stuart Lee. What a guy.
I need to check him out. Honestly, I'm
his
like
a bit
out of the loop.
His book is excellent, by the way. He wrote a book about his stand-up. And it's like annotated notes that go along with his set. So it's got this transcript of a stand-up routine. And then it's got tons of notes about it. And the notes are fucking hilarious. But they also show how much he's put into coming up with that material. That's the thing, is you think these guys just write this stuff. But it's years of work to get a really good hour and a half routine. So that's how you know Dave Chappelle has fucking honed that. Like he was on, he's done a tour to back that up. And then he records a special at the end once he's got it just right. There's so much to it. It's crazy how much work
there's
it is.
So many, but the part of the art, it's the same thing with Louis C.K. It's like, you know, the art is to make it feel like it's still the first time you're doing it almost, you know, make it feel natural.
I mean, he's brilliant.
Like,
he's probably the best comedian around, I think.
I mean, every single word is chosen very carefully. On these stand-up shows.
Yeah. Louis C.K. is very
distill
funny.
It. It's like, it's so honed. Not a word or a sentence is wasted. There's no fluff. It's just everything's leading in and the delivery is just right and the little turns of phrase and everything. Oh, he's brilliant. I love Louis C.K.
It's good. Big
fan. You look at his appearances on talk shows. When he goes on a talk show, he's always got a bit that he's doing that feels like it's just part of a conversation. But I guess before the show, he says, I want to talk about so-and-so. I've got a bit prepared. And they're like, okay, cool. So then they ask him a question, and then he can lead into this five-minute sort of monologue, if you like, that he's got. I mean, it's just, they're so good. All these little snippets of material that he's just using for that talk show. You just think, how the fuck can you be that funny? Just incredible. And here we are turning up and just doing a fucking podcast, talking bollocks off the top of our heads. If we went away for a month and prepared a podcast and just honed it and scripted it, we wouldn't make it look even a tenth as good as Louis C.K.
No, it would be terrible. I find in my experience, if I overthink things or like try to come up with something like elaborate or whatever, it's never like as good as just something that's like, you know, happens randomly or like is off the cuff or whatever, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
Like,
but they make it look off the cuff, but it's not. It's incredible skill.
It's like an art, isn't it?
Yeah.
They're just very, very, very good at it. I saw Jimmy Carr live one time. This is a long time ago, back when Jimmy Carr was just sort of like, you know,
popular.
Now, like, you've seen him, like, you see him everywhere on like every fucking show on Channel 4
panel
or whatever.
Show,
but
fucking, yeah.
This was like a while back before he was like on TV all the time and stuff. And he was sort of like, people were just kind of finding out about him and stuff. And his, you know, he's got some of his comedy's a little bit like offensive and controversial and stuff. But one thing I found was that when I went to see him live, because he was over here, it's like, oh, Jimmy Carr, let's go see him. Like, he's, you know, just at the fucking opera house, like in town. So we went to see him. And it just felt like super recycled, you know, like he was making jokes and doing bits that like I'd already seen him do on TV sort of thing.
Yeah.
And then like, and I know that that's kind of how it works, but like, it was just a bit, it wasn't like that funny. Like, I think that like a lot of the laughter felt like it was just nervous laughter because people thought they were going to get heckled or something by him. But like, it wasn't. I don't know. It didn't seem fresh or new, you know. There wasn't anything like in it that just sort of like fucking sent the crowd like spinning or anything, you know what I mean? Like, it was okay.
I remember Jimmy Carr was like in doing like there was this dodgy thing with him doing tax avoidance on Jersey, right? And that was like and I remember when I went to Jersey for the first time, one of the first things I saw upon landing at Jersey Airport was like a massive poster advertising Jimmy Carr being on at like the theater in Jersey. And I was like, well, I guess he does live here then.
No, it's just like, Jersey's funny because it's like, occasionally you get people come through here when they're doing like a UK tour or whatever, but only very occasionally. So like sometimes...
To defer all of the
sometimes
tax.
We'll get like, you know, like a comedian come through if he's touring the UK, like... Very, very rarely will we get like, you know, like a big musician come through. Like, I think Robbie Williams came here one time. there's not really
Robbie Williams or Robin Williams.
Robbie Williams, you know, like fucking what's
the bad
his face?
Williams.
Yeah. Millennium, that guy.
Oh God.
He came here one time. Right. And like, you know, this is a guy that plays like arenas in the UK.
Yeah.
And he came over here and played like up at the Fort, which is like fucking, it's like a high school gymnasium at best, like with bleachers. Like it, well, you know, that they must have sold it out
to
200 people or something. Yeah.
Tell us about the world. We don't know anything. We're cut off.
We're stuck here.
Help us.
It's like a penal
colony. Thanks for coming, Jersey people. Thank you. I'll see you next week.
Is the war still on? Are we liberated yet?
Oh, man.
Oh, guys, right. I've got to tell you something. Okay. So this was very exciting for me, and I almost jumped out of my seat. I watched a movie the other night with Mrs. F. I think it was on Sunday night, right? It was the movie Battleship. Have you ever seen it?
No.
Oh my God,
okay.
I have, yeah.
So it's a huge budget movie, right? Massive. It lost a fortune. It was a disaster. It had all kinds of people
in it. Is it new?
No, it's a few years old.
Okay.
It was made in that period in Hollywood.
2012.
It was made in that period in Hollywood when everything had to be orange and teal. Do you remember that phase? When
orange and blue contrast.
Right, they were obsessed with it because it makes the image pop off the screen, all the rest of it. There is a website that just lists all the movie posters that use this color scheme. Has
orange, blue contrast.
It was ridiculous. Yeah. And they would filter everything. And every scene seemed to need someone wearing dark blue or teal while something orange was also
on them. It's still a thing. It's totally still a thing.
It's not as bad. I've been watching for it because I was offended by this idea. And it's not as bad as it was, but it's still pretty bad. But in the movie Battleship, in every fucking scene, even if there's no reason for it to be that color, something will be bright orange and something will be blue so that it all sparkles and pops off the screen. So anyway, I'm watching the movie Battleship. It's a ridiculous movie. The plot of it is they're on some kind of exercise and aliens invade. And for some reason, these aliens invade the planet by the ocean. So this giant alien battleship lands and starts sending out all these weapons and stuff like this. Now, I at no point knew until I saw the credits that this movie is based on the board game Battleship, right? I had no idea that this was the case. I just thought
was in the credits.
It was in the credits. It said based on the Hasbro board game Battleship. And
I
fell out of my seat and I was laughing so hard. I was almost crying. And I was like, oh my God, so much in this movie makes sense. Because there's a scene where the aliens are moving and they can't see them because it's nighttime and their radar's not working. So the guy says, the Japanese guy who's on the ship on some kind of exchange. He says, the boys, we got these underwater boys, or buoys, as Americans call them hilariously. The underwater
buoys
have formed like a net around this island. They're for checking seismic activity. We can use the buoys to locate their presence. They're like, oh my goodness, this is working. So they have this grid arrayed, and suddenly, if I'm looking back now, I should have seen it. The film's called Battleship, and this is literally from Battleship. They say, E-15, and they fire, and the guy goes, miss. And then he says, D-12, and they hold their breath, and he goes, miss. And then they go, all right, G-7, and he goes, hit, and they go, woo! And I'm like, wow, this is so dumb. And I didn't realize until the credits, I was like, wait a minute.
How did they make a movie about that game?
Sips, imagine this. Someone comes to you and says, we have to make a movie about the board game Battleship. And you're a writer and you have to come up with a way to shoehorn the board game Battleship with its very iconic E-15 miss, G-12 hit. They have to shoehorn that in. Some guy came up with this.
Did somebody do the
hats off to you, sir. Hats off.
Did somebody do the catchphrase for Battleship? Like, you sunk my battleship. Did that come up?
I was praying for it, but it never happened.
Oh, fuck that movie.
Obviously, I didn't know until the end, but afterwards, I was thinking about, did anyone say you sunk my battleship? But get this, the highlight of the movie is that I think it's in whatever island it is. They've got this ancient World War II battleship that's just stationed as a museum in the harbor. Now their ships are all fucked up and they're like, we haven't got any ships left to take out these aliens. And the guy's like, wait a minute, there is one more ship we can use. And they go and they get, it's like the USS Minneapolis or something like that.
Right.
It's like this huge battleship, World War II era.
Yeah.
It hasn't been out of dry dock in like 20 years or whatever. And there's all these old dudes that worked on the ship back in World War II manning the ship. And they turn up and all the guys are up in the rigging. And I'm like, how did those old dudes get up in the rigging like that? That's crazy. But they're like, what do you need, sir? And he goes, gentlemen, we're going back into action. And they're like, how much ammo do we have? And he goes, oh, not much. I'm thinking, no, you have no ammo. You're a museum
piece. It's like a museum ship. Yeah, yeah, yeah.
But they have all these live rounds.
I enjoyed that movie.
But they said, no, we got a few bullets knocking around. It's like, cool, get the shells out and fire up the briar. So they fire it up and they fucking motor out there and they win the fight with this World War II battleship that is somehow fully functioning, operational. It was insane. It was such a ridiculous
what
movie.
What fucking
it was amazing.
Possessed you to watch this movie, though? Like, where?
It was on.
Where did you find it?
It was on television.
Oh, okay. I see.
Like, me and Mrs. F were like, you know, because I spend a lot of time streaming in the evenings and stuff, and she works late a lot, so we don't get to hang out as much as we used to. So I was like, you know what, we should have a couple of nights a week where we just sit down and watch shit television. She's like, cool. Because that's like I love watching ship movies, and she does too.
Yeah.
So it was like, fucking Battleship. She's like, I've seen it, it's terrible, you'll love it. I was like, cool. So we just watched it, and I was like, in heaven. I was loving it.
Man.
It was so fucking mad.
Jesus.
You want to watch other shit movies then? I mean, people can recommend it. But
I've seen a lot of shit movies. I mean, it's not that you want to stumble across it. That's the joy of a shit movie. If you're like,
yeah, you don't really seek out a shit movie. Like, you just sort of, you like the sound of something, or something sounds like it might be okay, and it turns out to be really heaving, steaming shit.
Right.
But, you know, you tried it out anyway just to see.
Like The Room. I watched The Room. You seen that movie? You know, you're tearing me apart, Lisa. All that stuff.
Oh my God, that's
what about The Game
ridiculous.
With Michael Douglas? Do you ever see that one?
Yeah, that's pretty fucking bad.
Fuck,
that's
it's bad. So but fucking that's just bad.
I just found it boring.
Yeah, it was
I mean, it
really
needs to
bad.
Be ridiculous. The battleship is... You're never bored watching Battleship. It's so terrible. And it's also so
I thought Pacific Rim was pretty fucking terrible. Like,
oh, God, some people love that fucking movie.
I don't know why. It's really bad. Like, it's just... It was oh, fuck me. Like, it felt like such a fucking chore getting through it. I was, like, watching it on the plane, which didn't help either. But, man, it was, like, visually impressive. But holy crap, like,
it was
fucking bad. Jesus. Fucking
well,
bad.
I mean, like, I think, like, there's a... You don't have to watch bad movies either, though, right? Like, I was talking to Tom and Ben yesterday, and we were, like, talking about Demolition Man, from the 90s. Like, it's a classic kind of... It's a classic 90s action
Which may not hold up now, but at the time, you know... I mean, the 90s was a different time, right? Like, when something
reckon,
came out in the
I
theaters, it was a big
up.
Fucking deal. Like, I remember when Terminator 2 came out, and people were just losing their fucking shit. Like, it was crazy. We went to see it on not even opening night. It had been out in theaters for like a week or something already. And my dad took me to see it. I was young at the time, too. He wanted to see it, so he took me to see it. And we went to see it at like late. It was like 10 o'clock at night. And there was a fucking lineup all the way outside, like around the mall. It was insane. It was huge. Everybody was like so fucking excited to see it. And
it was the biggest movie of 1991.
Oh God. It was cool. Like, it was really cool. But like, I don't know. Does that happen in movie theaters anymore? I feel like people just fucking, you know, get like screeners.
It does feel like every movie is home, bigger like, than the last. Like, No, every movie grosses more than the last. Like, movie, you know, it's always like, this is a record-breaking weekend. This is a record-breaking weekend. Like, every movie breaks all the records.
The thing
again.
Is, a lot of movies, when they talk about the budget, they don't include the marketing cost. Like, that's not something that you see. So when they talk about this movie cost $150 million to make, they probably spent that again on marketing for a big-budget movie. A really big-budget movie.
Yeah.
So,
yeah.
I mean, for instance, and they'll consider it a loss if it only makes, like, $10, $20 million. They'll be like, this was a dud. Because we spent all this money and we basically barely made anything compared to the outlay. Like, you expect to make a movie for like $100 million. You expect to make like $500 million off that shit.
Yeah, yeah.
Like,
I
the
think
Star
like,
Wars movies make a fucking fortune.
Coming back to Moana, I was reading about it because I've seen it so many times. So I looked it up because I wanted to see like, you know, if it fucking did well or was received well. And it turns out it was received pretty well. And it was like they're not sure, but they estimated that it probably cost about $150 million to make, like, all in. But it grossed, like, something crazy, like, nearly $1 billion worldwide. Like,
that's just
box office. Like, you know, this is Disney, right? There's fucking Moana toilet paper out there right now. Like the licensing for merchandise and shit is going to be another couple of billion easy.
Oh, yeah.
And I love to take a shit on the Rock's face.
Well, my son's got a little toilet seat that has fucking Mickey Mouse on it, and that's what he shits on. He doesn't shit on Mickey's face, obviously, but...
He's
like,
got shit on Mickey, I bet.
But, like, he sits down on this seat every day to take a shit.
Does he shit in Mickey's mouth?
Yeah, well, yeah, I guess so.
His little happy face. Hey, shit in my mouth, kid!
Yeah, but no, there's literally merchandise for everything when it comes to Disney.
Yeah.
And, like, and people buy it up. Like, it could be anything. Like, you could probably get a fucking Moana-themed toaster if you looked really hard. You know what I mean? Like, there's just... It's everywhere. So, like, the fucking amount of money that movie would have made for them is staggering. It's just
crazy.
Do you
know what? Do you know, have you seen the film Battlefield Earth? That's one of my favorite bad movies.
Oh, my God. What, the fucking Scientology
one? It's
got
John Travolta in, and it's
That's the true story of Scientology. Yeah.
Right. I never watched it. I remember when it came out,
though. You should see it. It's so good.
I was working in Blockbuster at the time, and this is back when they still have VHS tapes. It was when DVDs were coming out, right? So you had half VHS and then half DVDs. Cause
it was 2000. It came out 2000.
Yeah. So, I remember like the cover of it. Like, John Travolta looked like a Klingon or something.
He's
oh, he's got a big blue face.
I never
so
actually seen that.
You must see that movie, dude. It is hilarious.
I don't want to. I find it really hard to watch Travolta movies now. I don't know what it is.
It's terrible.
Like,
terrible. But honestly, you've got to watch that. It was one of my favorite.
I mean, there's a bunch
movies.
Of, talking about bad movies, like the ones I remember are Jack and Jill.
Oh, I saw that.
Remember the Adam
Sandler
movie?
Did you see it in the cinema?
Oh, no, fuck me, I didn't. But it's famously fucking garbage. Like,
it's
just
so bad.
What about that one about video games or the internet or whatever that Sandler did? What was it called? Like,
could you narrow it down a shade?
No, the one that has like the big Pac-Man in it. It was like a big Pac-Man, I think. Wasn't Click. Click was the one where he has the magical remote control. I never saw that either.
Pixels.
Pixels, yeah. What? Did anyone see that?
No, not one person.
Not a single
Jack,
person.
Jack and Jill was stunningly bad. What was that movie, The Happening? I saw that in the cinema because I got I was writing movie reviews at the time. I think I've spoken about this before, actually. But I was writing for a website. I was doing movie reviews. The Spinning Image, I think it was called. And I did a whole bunch of reviews, and they sent me on this press pass to go and interview M. Night Shyamalan and the stars of the movie on the red carpet at the London opening of the movie.
Nice.
So I was there with like the movie guy from, you know, these various radio stations, the BBC, and there's me, who's got no press credentials whatsoever and has not studied anywhere. And there's Paul Giamatti, who's like, I thought was a brilliant actor. And then I saw this movie. And then there's like Bryce Dallas Howard, who's like one of my top crushes in the world. And there she was. I almost fell over. And then we had to watch The Happening. Oh, no, that was Lady in the Water. Fuck me. I saw The Happening on DVD. Because I knew it was going to be a shitter, so I had to see it. It was so fucking bad. But Lady in the Water was just as shitty. But, oh, man. Oh, God.
Watching
both of those movies back-to-back would make my day. They're
Have
so
you seen
terrible.
Freddy Got Fingered?
Yes, I love that movie.
That movie's fucking fantastic. Holy
so
shit.
Fucking
Look, Daddy,
bad.
I'm a farmer. I'm a farmer, and he's waving
Daddy,
that horse's
Daddy, would you like
dick.
Some sausages? Daddy, would you like some sausages? Fucking Tom Green is amazing, man. He's so fucking funny.
Maybe you've got to be Canadian, or in my case, half Canadian.
He's from
like
the same city as me. He grew up, he's a bit older than me.
Oh, I remember watching one where he went out into the audience. He did a bit where he went and got a turd from a toilet and then took it out into the audience like it was a big old turd, and he brought it out in a bowl, and this guy touched it thinking it was a prop, and he was like, "You thought that was a prop turd, didn't you, sir?" And the guy's face was just like, "Oh my God, I've touched a giant turd." Like, the guy in the audience just reached out and touched it thinking it was a prop. Why would you touch it? Oh my God.
What else is terrible? I mean, Catwoman was bad.
I saw that on the plane.
What was the last movie you guys actually saw in the theater? Do you guys go to the cinema a lot?
Very occasionally. Arrival was the last thing I saw in the theater.
Arrival?
Oh, I watched a screener of that.
It was great.
It was good. It was real good.
What is Arrival?
It's about aliens that turn Arrive. Up. I'm gonna keep... There's no spoilers, all right? Don't worry, podcast listeners.
Yeah. It's about aliens that turn up.
There's no spoilers. Amy Adams, this is the synopsis you'd get. Amy Adams is a linguist. She's like a specialist in languages and translation and stuff like that.
Right.
Aliens turn up. They need her help to talk to the aliens.
Right.
Movie. All right? It is brilliant.
Okay.
A very, very, very good movie.
It's really, really tense, really nice, really well shot.
Okay.
Good movie.
Yep.
Enjoyed it all a right. lot.
I saw the Lego Batman movie recently. That was something.
Yeah. Sure.
I can't remember the last time I saw like an adult movie in the theaters. Like, because we,
you mean an,
we
an
take
adult
my,
movie?
Yeah, we take my son to like see movies, but obviously he's not going to go fucking see Pulp Fiction or whatever, you know. Like
everyone else in the office saw Get Out, the new written by Jordan Peele. Apparently it's really, really good. Everyone
it's a horror
that watched
movie,
it said
right?
it was amazing. I don't want to spoil
right,
it. Just
it.
I think you just have
all
to
right,
you have to
I'll
just watch it. It's definitely a little bit kind of. Creeps you out a little bit.
I can't not see like the frog face from SA like next to the title of that movie, like the Get Out guy.
Oh, cool.
Yeah, it is cool, isn't it?
Sorry, I've just got a text. Right, I'm gonna have to go.
You have to go.
My friends. Well, we've got time for a bodega, haven't we?
Yeah, I mean, what you literally got a text and you're leaving?
No, well, my friend's turned up that I haven't seen for like 10 years, and he's like, I've just parked up in Bristol town centre, so I'm gonna have to go and head over and have lunch with him. But
if you want,
no,
if
I've
you
got
want,
time for
you can go
a bodega.
And me and Sips can do the bodega.
I can take another 5 minutes for bodega.
I'm gonna take my time with this one.
All right.
Okay, well, go ahead.
Bodega.
Nice.
Part 21 Eno.
All right.
Nebish sat mesmerized by the incredible array of ships before him. Some kind of space yachting festival was taking place around Babouche 3, home of the infamous Wallop Bar and Grill. And as spectacles go, it was spectacular. The magnified wide-angle viewport from the lounge of the Disco Volante acted as a wonderful front-seat view of the competition as the beautiful old-fashioned space yachts used their solar sails to glide around anchored buoys as they raced against each other. Sadly, behind him in the cargo hold, a far less seemly competition was afoot. "Rab, you're wasting your time," said Nebish wearily. "Shut your pie hole, chum," slurred Rab, who swayed uncertainly despite being seated. "Do you wish to continue?" said Varu, sitting bolt upright opposite Rab. The two towering figures were squeezed into a pair of portable plastic folding chairs at a small portable plastic folding table, as if they were having a picnic. Instead, here they were in the cargo hold of the Disco Volante having an impromptu drinking contest. In one corner, Rab of Tartania, holder of the thrice regurgitated crown of Dunyer Nek, founding member of the Iron Gut Combat Battalion and possessor of a liver so powerful he was occasionally asked to consume dirty rocket fuel that he might then pee out pure rocket fuel. In the other corner, Varu, a combat droid so devastatingly powerful that it had been banned from setting foot on most inhabited worlds. Its inner workings were so complex that even Nebish, that master of technology, had struggled to simply replace one of Varu's servo batteries. It was also immune to any form of gas, poison, or toxin, and Spatial Brew fell into at least two of those categories.
Nice.
"Do you wish to continue?" Varu asked again, a small yes/no question mark flashing red on his face display. "Why? Fucking yes, you cunt, you," shouted Rab. Both competitors picked up their drinking vessels, lead-lined tankards filled with Spatial Brew Plus, which was actually banned on more worlds than Varu, and then cracked them together. "Doing it goes," said Rab, vomiting briefly into his lap before necking the viscous booze. Varu poured his drink into a small funnel that emerged from a slot on his neck. Rab blinked hard and attempted to stare down Varu. "Do you wish to continue?" asked Varu, the same readout appearing on his face. "Fucking spiders!" screamed Rab, pawing at his face with one mighty hand, one of his eyes screwballing wildly to the left, while the other rolled madly in its socket. Some more vomiting, this time from his nose and ears. Nebish peered back out at the graceful dance of the space yachts, sighing at their majesty. "I think perhaps," he began, before Rab pounded the table with his fist, cracking it in two. Empty cans flew in all directions, several crashing into Nebish, who shielded his face with one arm, pleading, "Rab, you're gonna kill yourself! Aye, the fucking way to the party is in the wee little hole, and then you take a left turn with your fucking maw, you wee scrote, you fucking... What, my fucking ass!" said Rab. All of this vital information spewing out in one long string of vowels as he slid hopelessly down out of his chair, passing out on the floor. "Varu is victorious," said Varu, and a party popper on a tiny arm emerged from his shoulder, and a second tiny arm emerged slightly below it and pulled the string, sending coloured paper everywhere with a small bang. "Varu, how long has Bodega been down there for?" 6 hours, 13 minutes, and 5 seconds," said Varu. "That seems like a long time for a simple meeting," said Nebish, turning to his computer screen. "He said he wouldn't be long, so maybe we should try to contact him." "Possibly. He might also be getting his balls wet," said Varu, accessing his common parlance library. "True, but I don't know. He seemed kind of all business when he left. I think we should try the signal," said Nebish, pursing his lips. "Very well. Varu concurs," said the robot, rising and moving to the ship's communication station. All the members of the Disco were fitted with a small signaling device on the inside of their left wrist, a simple vibrating implant that let someone know they needed to contact the ship. Nebish had insisted that a tracking device would be a disastrous idea in case the ship was captured. Their enemies would immediately be able to discern all of their whereabouts. But a receiver was different, since it couldn't be located. Nebish sent out the wide-beam, "Where the flav are you?" signal and sat back to wait. Something was bothering him, however. They needed a way to communicate. That was a given. They also needed a way to let someone know you needed to communicate with them. It was no good just calling someone's communicator if it was a bad time to talk. Instead, you sent them a discreet ping, they knew you needed to talk, and they called you when it was convenient. But the ship's outbound hailing signal, was there a way to track that? Surely not. It was so broad, so omnidirectional, it could have come from anywhere. Here they were, cloaked up in the third moon shadow, unnoticed by any possible federal ships patrolling the area, and for all anyone listening knew, someone somewhere had sent a simple one-byte message to the whole flarving planet. Hell, you'd need 100 ships in an impromptu net, all listening in. Hundreds of ships. Nebuchadnezzar's eyes widened as the blindingly obvious slapped him in the face. The space yachts! Rab, Varu, we have to leave, shouted Nebish, lunging towards the bridge. Varu turned, processed the look on Nebish's face, and began powering up the hyperdrive. Rab dragged himself from the floor with a deathly groan and attempted to stand, but instead made do with a manly combat crawl towards the weapon station. What's on? He cried. Feds, shouted Nebish. Sweat beading on his brow as he pointed to the viewport. The space yachts were wheeling away as behind them a fleet of Federal pursuit ships burned straight for the third moon of Babuj 3. What about Bodega? Asked Varu. We'll have to come back for him. We have to leave now. And with that, Nebish slapped the go-go button and the Disco Volante span up its hyperdrive and vanished. On the planet below, Bodega was quite unaware that his getaway vessel had just peaced out on him, and that the combined forces of Krem Slum Dump's personal combat retinue now knew they almost had their man. Again. To be continued.
Oh, good work. Bodega. Good work, good Bodega. Work. Oh, it's exciting.
That's good setup for the next...
Closing
for stranding
in
our hero.
Big ol'.
Fucking, I'm Bodega. Loving the to be continueds. These are good.
Yeah.
These are nice.
I feel we need some continues.
I mean,
continues are good.
Yeah, 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 yeah. I was just thinking, like, while you were doing this, right? It's like Battleship made a pretty bad, good movie, yeah. Right?
Right.
But, and Bodega would make a pretty bad, good movie, I think, too. But, I mean, what if you tried to do, like, other movies, like, with a board game, like Scrabble? How would you do that?
It'd have to be like a documentary style, like Bobby Fischer sort of thing. You know what I mean? Like, it would have.
Yeah,
oh, I
about
see.
The Scrabble World Championship.
And it would have to be done maybe kind of like Best in Show. Remember that movie, Best in Show?
Yeah.
There's a really crazy.
You could do Monopoly.
Yeah.
Just have,
so you'd have to
four,
find like
four
some
businessmen.
People that could play like eccentrics that like, you know, go on world tour.
It could
to
be
play.
Like the Wolf of
yeah.
Wall Street.
Yeah, but with four businessmen, one who wears very large shoes, one who does a lot of ironing.
Yeah.
One who owns a small dog and one who drives a very old-fashioned car.
That's they should
and they
do.
All have to compete.
That's
to
what they should do. They
other.
Should do like a. They should do for like Red Nose Day next year. Comic relief. They should get the cast of Dragon's Den to play Monopoly, like just live stream it for
that
a couple
would be
of hours.
Amazing.
Get
I
like
would watch
get
that.
Like the old crew too. Like get fucking like Theo Profitis and like Duncan
yeah.
Bannatyne.
Bannatyne.
He's like
the other guy and that lady. Oh, I'd watch it.
Boardwalk. I don't have enough money for that. I'm out.
I'm out.
He just rage quits, just like fucking flips
Can
the table.
Can you imagine the business deals they do
yeah.
to trade like Old Kent Road for Park Lane? It would be one of the business deals of the century. You'd see how real business people play Monopoly.
That's it.
I wonder if they'd ever trade.
That's it.
If
anyone knows the cast of Dragon's Den UK edition,
get them in.
Float that one. Buy them and see what they think and thank
Credit
me later when we get to watch yeah. this next year for Red Nose Day. Like how fucking
oh,
funny would that be?
It'd be great.
Shit.
Right. Lewis, you need to go see your longtime friend.
I'm gonna go see my bro. Incidentally, they did retire the iron from Monopoly.
Yeah, I know.
Flags.
Why?
I was really upset.
They replaced it with the cat. I guess because women were like, mums didn't like
no, no,
getting
no.
playing
they
with the iron.
They wanted to bring it what? Up to date. So they put a vote out and they said, pick one of these and we'll stick it in the game instead of the iron.
I guess
so. I think you voted for one that you didn't like and then you voted for a replacement.
See if you can name the current eight tokens, Pflax.
All right, well,
Monopoly.
The irons are there. So the cat, the dog,
yeah.
the top hat, the
yeah.
little car.
Yeah, the
yeah.
car.
Yeah.
Some,
there's eight tokens?
Yeah, yeah. One of them happens to be something we've mentioned quite a few times,
a thimble.
Actually.
A thimble, yeah, yeah.
Thimble was retired this year,
what?
Actually.
What?
Thimble
Guys,
was retired
I have something
in
that's going to blow your mind. I saw Monopoly in the store the other day, and it doesn't come with Monopoly money. It came with like this like little fucking like pocket like calculator thing with like a credit card. Sort of thing.
What the fuck?
Yeah.
That
is
sounds
it, is
awful.
A little train one of the things? Oh, the old boot.
No,
the boot.
Yeah. yeah,
the boot. Yeah.
There's two more.
There wasn't there a boat?
Can you name
a little
them?
Boat?
That's right. What kind of boat was
it's
it?
Like a tugboat, I think.
No, it's a battleship.
Was it a little
oh,
battleship?
Oh, really?
Yeah.
I've never seen that. I've never seen
the
that.
The battleship and the wheelbarrow. Is
oh,
the
wheelbarrow.
One.
I've never seen battleship and wheelbarrow. That must be new.
I thought it was
I've
a little
never
tugboat.
Seen eight. Yeah, I remember shoe, iron, thimble, dog, car, and whatever the other one was.
There used to be like a cannon and a horse and rider.
The thing with Monopoly now, though, there's lots of different editions too, right? There's like a Star Wars Monopoly, Moana Monopoly. There's even a Jersey Monopoly now.
There's a Monopoly Electronic Banking Edition.
That's the one, I think.
.com edition.
I saw,
America's National Parks, Pokemon, Token, Nintendo, Phineas and Ferb, Futurama, Disney Villains.
Jesus Christ.
There's a Sephora edition where you can be like blow dryer, compact, lipstick, mascara.
When did Monopoly like sell out so
Coca-Cola
hard?
Coca-Cola edition. Hello Kitty
it used
edition.
To stand for something and now I don't know.
Oh, man.
Monopoly's a terrible fucking game. I hate Monopoly. All right, well, we're going to end on that. Thank you for listening to the Trifles Podcast this week, everybody.
Yeah, cheers.
We'll see you next week. It was a good podcast.
Yeah,
I enjoyed it.
Me too.
Love you.
Bye.
Bye, you all.
Goodbye.
Bye.
Goodbye.
See ya. See you later.